All right. My name is Will. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 5th, 2022. I have a home group. It's Tampa YPG, Thursday nights at 7:30. Meet at the Portico Cafe. I have a sponsor. He's here. His name's Jerry. And I have a guy I'm sponsoring here as well named Nick. And so my sobriety date, thank you for asking me to speak. I feel really weird in the suit. I came here in jeans and a shirt and changed at noon, and then I thought everybody was looking at me weird after I changed in the suit, and then Dan said, yeah, you're overdressed, and then another guy back there asked if I ate too much spaghetti because my shirt's a little small. But then I had somebody else say, he helped me put it in perspective like so many people in AA do for me, because my thinking's all jacked up. He said that you're dressed up to show respect to you guys, the room of AA, and what they've done for me in saving my life. I didn't do the airplane to Tampa. I did a Greyhound bus, August 3rd of 2022. What had happened there was, I grew up in South Dakota, small farm town, very small, like 300 population, graduating class of 9, cousins, friends, oldest of 3 brothers, one adopted, 2 foster brothers, but they became my brothers. And, went through high school, played sports, did that whole deal. What we did in that small town is we hunted, we drove around on back roads. I started drinking when I was 14. I got in trouble, so my dad was a basketball coach. My mom was a teacher. My grandpa was a judge of the county. My grandma was a teacher in the neighboring town. So I couldn't really hide what was going on. So got caught drinking first time. Loved it. Drove around. I think I, hit the e-brake a couple times, making, we called it whipping Maine where I'm from. You drive around on Main Street and just go around in circles. But I got in trouble, so I broke training rules and had to miss a couple football games, so I stopped drinking for a while. And eventually, what happened was, sports ended when I was a senior, and basically I used that as an excuse to really start drinking. And I was so full of fear from a young age. I used sports, and I used, my family status as something to like make me accepted. So I got a scholarship to play baseball at this small NAIA school in Dakota Wesleyan. It's in Mitchell, South Dakota, the home of the Corn Palace. Anybody familiar with that? Don't go. There's a basketball court in there, and they play the region championship game in there. That's all that's in there. But I was so afraid. Like, I remember going to college and just not wanting to even leave my dorm to go to the bathroom because I would have to interact with you in the hallway. I started doing other things as far as other things to make me feel different. And that became more important. And, baseball required me to, they wanted me to do all these 45-minute runs and work out and go to school. And, I wasn't having all that. So I quit, and then I quit school shortly after. I made it 2 months, and kind of kept attempting to do that. I'd go back home to, all my friends were back home, all my family. So I'd go back home, start drinking, work for my dad. He was in construction. And, 21, 22 years old, I move into this house in Sioux Falls, it's the biggest city in South Dakota. It's 200,000. And we had this big party house, and I partied all the time and, got involved in some stuff. And basically, I had a doctor that would prescribe me anything that I wanted, and I got really hooked on prescription medications. I know this is AA. This is just my story. And I decided that I was real sick one day, and I was like, this has got to end. And I've heard about this thing called treatment, and I looked up a treatment, and I went to this place called Keystone in Canton, South Dakota, and I saw the steps for the first time, and I was really happy when I saw them, because I saw the word. So I had the experience of seeing the word God and being like, okay, that's my answer, and I was excited about that. But then I didn't understand like I do now, like all these prejudices and all these things that are blocking me from God. And so I got out and relapsed within 14 days and went through that summer. That was August 2010. And my mom, who is a big part of my story, she's constantly, you know, trying to get into my life and help me. And she's like, I found this place in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we think you should go. It's a place called The Retreat. It's a 30-day inpatient. I didn't know what it was like, but when I got there, it was pretty big book oriented. And for the first time, I kind of had this new relationship with my higher power that I had never had before. And that led to me getting out and getting into a sober house and getting involved in AA up in the Twin Cities area. And I got a sponsor, and I started working the steps, did an honest and thorough fourth and fifth step. Got to the ninth step, did about four or five of them. Remember reading the promises and being like, yeah, they're coming true. And then maybe sponsored one or two guys, and about 2 years sober. I think what had happened was I was more concerned about how I looked. I was more concerned about the gym. I was more concerned about doing therapy or going to church and all these things besides AA. And at about 22 months, I called that same doctor and picked up some prescription meds and a six-pack of Miller Lights, and I was off and running again. And that led me on probably like a 4 or 5 year, you know, move to Ohio, move to Virginia Beach. Mom's flying down to Virginia Beach to grab me and drive me back to Minnesota to go back to treatment, and flying to Arizona for these treatments, and just looking for all these things to try to fix me. And what was really kind of cool about that drive from Virginia Beach back to Minneapolis was that I found speakers, AA speakers, and I remember the only relief that I had was when I would put on a speaker tape and I would listen to those people talk. And then, you know, from like the 30 seconds it took to like go to the next speaker, like I was left with myself again, and I was like, this is painful. I'm so depressed. I want to kill myself. Then I'd put the speaker on and get some relief again. So fast forward to 2016, I went to another treatment center. I got sober for about 3.5 years. In that 3.5 years, I became a really, really good slow pitch softball player. And that's kind of a joke. That was like my higher power. And I got married, and she had some kids, and I became their father, and decent paying job, and pretty like consistent job. And that's how I stayed sober for 3.5 years. And I found myself inching my way back into the doctor's offices and trying to seek stuff out like that. And eventually what happened after 3.5 years in 2019, I went back out, and there wasn't much AA in there. And there was about 2 years of no AA in there. And so for about 2 months went by, and my ex-wife now, she wasn't having it, said she wanted a divorce. I got into some other stuff that makes you go really fast and talk to aliens and stuff like that. And I went back to treatment one last time. COVID hit, and I used COVID as an excuse to basically leave treatment and move back into my home. And in like June of 2020, I don't know about any of you, but I was getting, people are probably gonna be mad about this, but I was getting a lot of money for unemployment on COVID, and I didn't have to do anything. And so what I did with that money was I was one day sober, and I decided to get in my car and start driving to New Orleans. And I heard Florida was open, so I drove to Florida, and then I drove up to Maine, and then I drove all the way across the state of Washington, down to San Diego. And somewhere in Oklahoma, I relapsed. You guys ever seen The Tiger King on Netflix? Relapsed in his trailer park. And made my way back to Minnesota at about 58 days sober that happened. So I did about 44 states in 58 days. I did the math, like 20,000, 19,000 miles. Saw everything you could see in the country. It was kind of cool. But trying to outrun my problems like I always was. And year and a half go by, still doing what I'm doing. Things are getting worse. I'm thinking about making a run to Phoenix because I'm looking at my parents and they're going to retire in Phoenix. So let me get down there, get sober so I can be, and my parents are probably like, we don't want you down in Phoenix. Like, I don't know what I was thinking, but I go through Grand Junction, Colorado, and I have tire problems with my car, and my car blows up in the Rocky Mountains. And by this time I'm having some legal troubles. A felony already has happened. I'm running and I get another felony and another felony in Grand Junction, and I sit for about 4 or 5 months, and I get out, and my ex-wife is talking to me, and she lets me move, get my probation transferred to Colorado because I'm not from there, back to Minneapolis. And after a month of that, living with her, you know, cops are getting called. I've full-blown relapse, and I ask her, I'm like, hey, just can you please drive me to the plasma center so I can get $100 and get out of here and like leave you guys, because I know this is like stressing all of us. And I became full-blown, just pushed everybody away, wanted to do what I wanted to do. I'm riding this till the wheels call off. Mom, don't give me any money if I ask. 6 months of just living on the streets of Minneapolis and running around, you know, in and out of Targets and Walmarts with all sorts of stuff. Just, if you guys understand what that's kind of like to support your habit. So July 27th of 2022, I was set to go to court. And I come up, my mom had, she had sent me a message on Facebook, and I was in a library because I didn't have a phone. And she's like, if you can get to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, there's this place called The Link. We can get you into this detox. And I'm like, this will be perfect. I'll tell the judge that I'm in detox on the same day I'm supposed to be in court. So then I won't have a bench warrant out for my arrest. So I called a guy in AA who was kind of sober, but I knew that I could kind of manipulate him because earlier that year I'd called him and he slipped me a $20 bill. Just kind of like, hey, you know, here's 20 for food. But yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that for food. And I remember standing outside the Hennepin County Library in downtown Minneapolis waiting for this guy to pick me up at like 2 p.m. And he comes around the corner, and I remember seeing there was another guy in the car. And it was another guy in AA, and he had about 20 years. And it was two guys, and it changed everything for me. Because I thought I'd get to Sioux Falls, I'll get out of Minnesota, I won't get in trouble, I'll be on the run, I can keep doing what I want to do in Sioux Falls. And I get to Sioux Falls, and you know, the car ride there is just mainly me eating and sleeping. And I get to Sioux Falls, my parents meet me there. I'm sure the people were like very surprised that my parents were actually there. And I go into this detox, and I sleep for 2 days, and I eat when they tell me to eat, and then I wake up one day and I'm like, I'm out of here. And I call my mom, I'm like, I'm out of here. And I walk around Sioux Falls for a night, sleep out in the wherever, and then somebody said that if you went into Sioux Falls Social Security Administration, they'll buy you a bus ticket wherever you want in the country. And I went in there, and he's like, you know, I'm like, I'm trying to get a bus ticket. He's like, where? I'm like, to Tampa, Florida. And the reason I picked Tampa, the weather, like Tom Brady a little bit was in the equation there. I'm a sports guy. I'm like, it's got to be all right. So I get on this Greyhound bus, and, you know, my parents, they came out and they took me out to Chili's and drove me to the Greyhound bus station and bought me a phone for $38 at Walmart and said, we're not buying you service, but you can connect to Wi-Fi. And I got down here. I didn't stay sober on the bus ride. I got down here, and I went on the river walk in Tampa the first night, and I was like, this is awesome. And I'm Snapchatting, like, just popped up a year later. All my friends are like, what's going on here? And, like, everything's good. And sleep on the river walk the first night, and they kick me out at, like, 3 in the morning. I'm like, this sucks. And then I go in and trying to get into the Salvation Army Red Shield. I'm not wanting to get sober because I know the work that is required, and I don't want to do that. I've already conceded all that. I don't want to do it. And for some reason, I had the thought, look up an AA meeting. So I look up an AA meeting. I walk to the Alpha Club. I wanted to see Raymond James Stadium. So I'm like, let me walk past Raymond James Stadium and go to the Alpha Club. I get there at 6 p.m. on a Thursday night. This lady, she's like, stay here. We're going to get you these phone numbers. We're going to get you in somewhere. I'm like, all right. And they took me out to pizza. And this guy said he'd be my sponsor. And dropped me back off at the Alpha Club. I'm like, man, you're not even going to let me stay at your house. So I had to sleep outside another night. And I called my mom, and she put $400 towards me to get into a sober living environment. And I got into one August 5th, 2022. And the first month of my sobriety was a lot of me really facing things for the first time. I didn't even realize how messed up I was. And I remember sitting outside Yana one night, and guys like, you know, I've been sober 14 years. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, you know, Bill and them did the steps in like 3 days. And he's like telling me, like, good luck to you. And like, I didn't want to do the steps again because I had done them before. And I didn't want to face that. And the requirement to be at the sober house is do the steps. And so I get a sponsor. And at about 3 months, we're at 33. And I was mad that he didn't come pick me up to do our third step. So I'm already mad when I get there. I'd ride the bus there. I didn't ask for help anyway. But I get there, and right after we do the third step, we're supposed to launch into the fourth step, and I'm like telling him how I want to do this again. And he's basically like, I can't do this with you. And he walks out on me, and I chase him out of 33. I'm like, dude, get back in here. Like, I came all the way over here. And he's like, I can't do this right now. And I walk back in, I walk back out, I apologize. And he's like, I can't do this right now. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, then I gotta find a different sponsor. Got another sponsor. So this is I'm on my third sponsor at about 5 months sober, four months sober. And what had happened was I was making some progress, and it was Thanksgiving, and I had a lot of anger and still boiled up, and some guy in the house was giving me a hard time about the Thanksgiving turkey, and we got in an argument, and I got kicked out of the sober house. And it wasn't a physical fight, but it was a verbal fight. And in that moment, I remember saying a prayer that morning, you know, because I was really nervous about getting the turkey right for all the guys in the house. And the next day, they pull me in. They're like, hey, we got to let you go. We watched the video. Like, you said some things, some threatening things, and we got to let you go. And they're like, you can go to Newport Richey. And I had warrants. I had a few warrants out for my arrest, and I had to face those eventually. And me and my sponsor and I had been talking, like, hey, you're going to have to face these eventually if you want to be free. So he drove me down to the Tampa police station, and I turned myself in for a warrant out of Colorado. And I sat in the back of the car, and he's like yelling at me, you're doing God's will. And I'm like, it doesn't feel like it. I got my hand behind my back. And they drive me to Falkenberg, and I sit for 18 days, and then they extradite me to Colorado, 7 different county jails, and I don't know how many four for four biggie meals or whatever from Wendy's, trying to eat them with handcuffs on and dipping them in the barbecue sauce. But I go there, I face the original sentencing judge. The place that kicked me out, they wrote me a nice letter, said I was actually making some progress. And the judge is like, hey, you know, we're going to let you back on probation, and good luck to you. So I sat in South Dakota for about 40 days at my parents' house, or like 30, it was under 30 days, and to legally get everything transferred to Florida. And that was January 30th of last year. I came back to Florida. I still had some stuff lingering in Minnesota, and it wasn't an extraditable stuff, so they weren't going to come get me. And I'd been unemployed for 6-7 months, little jobs here and there. So I'm about 6-7 months sober, and I get this job, and the two guys, they work, they're in recovery. And the first day, I'm like, I got the sponsor, I'm really resentful towards him, and I kind of want a new sponsor. He's like, here, you know, call this guy. And I call this guy, and he picks me up on a Sunday, and we go to 3333, we go out to eat, and we just kind of talk about, you know, what we're going to be doing here. And one thing that he pointed out to me early on was that I really like to write people off, and I was doing that with so many sponsors, and just, you know, screw you, and I had to stop doing that eventually. And, you know, he showed me a way. He took me to Tampa YPG. He said, stand at the door and greet, and I stood at the door and greeted, and I found out that greeting was a really good way to get out of my head. I even did it at, like, I came to 164 a few times. I was at the last meeting you guys had at the Northgate one, and I had to sit on the floor. And I think I picked up like my 6 or 7 month there. And then I came a few times to the Salvation Army, and I'd get there at like 7, and, you know, I'd be up in my head about something. So I'd stand out there by Owen. Owen was always greeting, and then I kind of like stand there. I'm like, I know I'm not the greeter, but I'm just going to greet these people. Like, those were just things that I did that really helped me. And, you know, my life looks a lot different today. Really good speakers today. I related to a lot of them. And so I'm going to run through my day and kind of how I stay sober on a daily basis, or how God helps me stay sober. Whatever the right wording there is. You know, I wake up, you know, I get in the book, 60 through 64, little page 76, seven-step prayer. Might go for a walk or a light exercise. And then I call my sponsor about 7:30 before I go into work. We had made this time where I was having some struggles at that time of day with some thoughts. And so I call him, and I go to work. And my job, I drive a box truck around and deliver appliances. So, like, I, you know, a nice Bluetooth headphone, and I can call alcoholics all day long. So I had a guy I called at 8, I had a guy I called at 10, I had a guy I called at noon, and I just called alcoholics all day long. I got off of work, went home, showered, was on the road by like 5:30, 6 o'clock to a meeting. And meeting every night is what I do right now. And you know, actively working with guys. Some meetings I go to that are more of like, not that I'm going to get something, I guess, but more just kind of to fill me up. And some I'm going to, like, where there's less people, less time there. And I'm trying to reach out and maybe sponsor a guy or just do whatever I can. And I'll just close with this. So we read Dr. Bob's Nightmare at YPG. And when I was like in the bathroom before, kind of praying and stuff, and like my ego is just, don't be vulnerable. You're such a wimp. You're such a wussy. Like, just all this stuff going on before I get up here. And these little acts of kindness, he talks about Dr. Bob's Nightmare, this little acts of kindness. And, you know, he gets like this vast, I'm chopping this up, but he feels good when he looks out and sees the crowd that he might have had some small part to do with this. And I do this Cove housing commitment on Friday nights, and last night was our best meeting, and you know, like 12 people showed up, and sometimes we're getting one or three, and just these little things that and if I'm in a bad space, I'm not ready for this stuff. Like, but when I'm connected, I can do these kind things. And I thought this was pretty cool. This guy just, like, he just peeked around the corner, he saw me, and in that moment I was able to just kind of just raise my hand and say hi to him. And he, like, went around the corner, and then he, like, turned around and came into the meeting. And, like, those are some cool little things that I get to be a part of on a daily basis when I show up for AA. Thanks a lot for letting me speak.